Wake Up Call, 1300 WTLS, 106.5 FM continues. John Nelson joins us. No stranger to the Wake Up Call or WTLS, as he has his book out and ready, Above Ground, the story of Gene Jelks. John, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Michael. It's been a while.
It is. How are you these days?
Just running around. When you're trying to figure out which one of you are on any given day, you know, is it on the road for television? Is it play-by-play? Is it high school? Is it writing a book? Yeah, today it's writing a book.
All right. How long has it been in the making? You and I talked about this when you were considering putting something together. You'd been in talks with Gene. But from that point to where you are now with it now being published, how much time did it take to put it together?
Probably, what, a year and a half? I mean, help me with my math here. I mean, what are we thinking, a year and a half, 2 years from actual discussion to having it out? I mean, it's been a long road, and it's been a real interesting one at the same time. You know, when you're writing a book, it's all about almost putting together a puzzle. And when this particular puzzle has as many pieces as it does, you know, you have to figure out who you can talk to about it, who will go on the record, and because there are parts that are dicey. And it's one of the greatest unsolved mysteries, I think, of the Southeastern Conference of the last 30 years. And for it to finally come to this, you're talking about a bunch of different angles. You know, it's about rebirth and renewal and everything that happened when he was a player at the University of Alabama to where he is now and where he wants to go with his life. And I mean, it's a great character study, and it's an interesting character study too.
And writing a book must be a lot of work in itself, but you were doing more investigative work, probably just trying to talk to the people, as you said, going on the record. It would give you their story on this, and including Gene. How difficult was it to get Gene, or was this something he's been wanting to do?
It's something that he's been wanting to do because of how he wants to pursue the remainder of his life. I mean, here's a guy who's kicked homelessness twice, kicked addiction twice, and he's trying to come out the other side just shy of 50 years old. And, you know, when you look at everything that he's gone through, I mean, for that first meeting, let me give you an idea. For the first meeting that we had about the book, he drives in from Birmingham to Atlanta, which is a 2.5-hour drive, and he is in an automobile that gets stuck in traffic, and he runs out of gas on the connector in Atlanta, and he's probably 4 miles away from our meeting place. He calls one of the Georgia Hero units, which is a state-run, you know, those are those big yellow trucks that you see in Georgia helping folks on the side of the road. And they get him a gallon of gas, and it gives him enough to get to the meeting place so we can start this kind of discussion. And what I told Gene was, I said, okay, if you want to do this, there are going to be people who will listen. There will be people who don't want to listen. That's just how fandom is in the state of Alabama when it comes to football. And regardless of what you say, there may still be people who don't want to hear it. And it was a risk that he's been willing to take, and it's a risk that he took, and now we have the end result.
You know, Alabama got in some trouble over this, and go back over that and talk about what Gene's side of it was from, you know, getting into the issues that got them in hot water to the NCAA, and then and of course, this is more about the aftermath of that, but I'd like to, you know, hear what his side was on that.
Yeah, well, you know, in the mid-90s, everyone, when you think of football in the state of Alabama with the two large schools, it comes down to two individuals, Eric Ramsey and Gene Jelks. And when Eric went public with his allegations on 60 Minutes, there were some Auburn boosters at the time who wanted to try to get Alabama in as much trouble as Auburn was. And in Gene, they found an individual who was in desperate straits financially. And from there, they were like, okay, you need to come forward and tell people that Alabama paid you to go to school. They paid you while you were at the University of Alabama, and they paid you to go there, all that kind of stuff. So he says what he says publicly. He goes on Larry King and says that the university paid me to go to school. And from there, he had Auburn boosters bankroll him, for lack of a better word, to say these things. And when Alabama didn't get into as much trouble as Auburn did, it did start the Antonio Langham investigation, and we all know what happened with that. But with Alabama not getting into as much trouble as Auburn did, because there were a lot of folks at the NCAA who didn't think that Gene's story was very credible the more that they investigated, then the Auburn boosters dropped him from their payrolls. And then that was when Gene's life kind of spiraled downhill from there. And I mean, he was homeless for a decade, and he would call home occasionally in Gadsden, but he was so ashamed of what happened that he kept as low a profile as a human could, and he did so by being homeless.
Ashamed of squealing, so to speak, or being what many would say is a rat by taking a payments from Auburn boosters, that part of it? Or you say that the NCAA didn't find the story credible. Do you actually believe that he was paid? Did he admit that or fess up there? Is that a made-up story just to get the money?
No, he made most of it up. He did get paid by the Auburn boosters to say these things, but he didn't get paid to go to the University of Alabama.
So that was all made up, he says.
Yeah.
Now
he was young and angry, and
wow,
that was the impetus for it, because it all goes back to his time when he was at the University of Alabama, when he started as a freshman. Outrushes Bo Jackson of the Iron Bowl, gets injured his sophomore year. Then the coaching change happens, where Coach Perkins leaves and Bill Curry comes in.
Yeah. Moved him to the other side of the football. We all know that, yeah.
Yeah,
which had to be,
the other side.
Yeah. Yeah, moved him from running back to a defensive back, and I'm sure that was probably a sore thing. I assume. What did he think about that move?
No, you're right. He was sore. And it was a position that he really had never played short of some time in middle school. And there was, and this is, black helicopter theory, that there were boosters who wanted to have Bobby Humphrey promoted to be a solo running back so he could have a Heisman push. And, once again, this is unsubstantiated, but that was the thought at the time, is that, why are you moving Gene when he and Bobby were so powerful as, 1 and 1A. And so then Gene's career really doesn't go from where it could have gone had he stayed a running back. And he leaves the University of Alabama, has a free agent tryout with the Denver Broncos as a defensive back and a kick returner. And obviously he was out of place. So he had 2 years in Canada as a kick returner. And his career didn't go where he thought it could have had he stayed a running back. And it was because of that anger, and because he was young, and he had people come upon him at that, at the right time when he was down. And they were like, okay, hey, say these things, and, we'll pay you to say them. And from there, that was when all of it started, and that was when Larry King happened and all of that.
Mm. And hitting rock bottom, like you say, homeless.
Several times, yeah. Hitting rock bottom. I mean, yes. Hear him tell it, it was absolutely, I don't know how he survived, frankly.
And you said, but, too, that he and Eric Ramsey actually have a relationship and communicate, right?
Yeah, they do these days. And it's, you know, the two gentlemen who were the largest, probably two of the largest pariahs at the time in the state when it came to football, you know, they're following the same paths now. They're doing clinics for kids. They're doing public speaking. They're doing these things as a cautionary tale. And it's both of them with their rather large faith in God that have gotten them, you know, past that point in their lives and moving forward and looking to help others, you know, as their lives continue.
Now, I saw a report somewhere, and that now, after the tragic tornadoes, was that the first time Jelks had made a trip back to Tuscaloosa?
Yes. And the Good brothers have been instrumental in trying to draw him back into the Alabama football family. And, you know, think about it for a second. For someone who makes such a mistake when they're a young man, and, you know, there were people that wanted to kill Gene when he did what he did and he said what he said at the time. And he wanted to do something to help Alabamians, the Alabama family, and the folks in Tuscaloosa. And he didn't want to make a big deal out of it at the time. He still doesn't want to make a big deal out of it. He wanted to just go back and be helpful. And as it just so happens, you know, people noticed, hey, there's Gene. And it's kind of snowballed from there about his re-involvement and his wish to be re-involved with the Crimson Tide football and all of his teammates and all of his coaches and the Alabama family itself. But yeah, that was the first step. It was a big first step for him, and he didn't want to make a big deal out of it, but everyone else has.
The book is called Above Ground, Gene Jelks' Journey Out of the Woods Back into the Kingdom of God. John Nelson, the author, who's with us. And that part of it, if you read more, the subtitle there, that, you know, this is in some way a spiritual book. I guess it's Christian related with his, you know, the way he's changed his life. And I'm just looking at one of the places that has it. It's one of the Christian bookstores, and I'm sure it's available all over. I know you have it available on Amazon as well. But talk about that aspect of it.
Well, this is key, and it's also key to Gene. You know, this is a faith-based book, and while it does go through what happened at the University of Alabama, Gene firmly believes that if it had not been for his belief in God and his faith, that he wouldn't be here to tell a story. And what he does throughout the book itself is he goes through his upbringing in Gadsden, and he goes through Tuscaloosa, and then goes through what happened when he became drug addicted and homeless. And what this book also is it's a cautionary tale, and what Gene wanted to do was have this as a tool for any 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kid who plays sports, who's a student athlete, and their families as a way, you know, almost as a guidepost moving forward. It's like, I've been through this stuff, and had it not been for my faith in God, I wouldn't be here to tell my story. So it's about rebirth and renewal and faith. And there are verses in the back that are very important to Gene that he feels are important for anyone who's going down these same paths, you know, whether it's talking about faith in general, whether it's about the prodigal son and things like that, that can help reinforce the story and what he's been through for anyone who might be traveling down the same paths, whether it's addiction or questioning your own faith or questioning why you're doing something and why you're walking down a certain road. That's also stuff that Gene wanted to address, you know, as we're moving forward, and to have him pretty much pour his heart out to explain, this is why this is important. I thought it was very brave of him to do at this point of his life.
You have any reports yet on how many books have sold. I know it's very early in the game right now, but
I know. Let's put it this way, Mike. I know they are. How about that?
There you go. It's going to do well. I know. And I know a lot of hard work by you and Gene and everybody involved. And you told me, is there something else that comes out of this? You know, this is a perfect, as we said, documentary story. And you said maybe even the Jelks and Ramsey thing would be perfect for like 30 for 30 or something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking to both of them. And, you know, for them to be able to tell their story from the point of the aftermath on, because, you know, they, you know, if you mention one, you know, either one or both of those names to the fans of those college football fan bases, you know, what's the first reaction? Usually a turned up nose and maybe an expletive. But to be able to hear from these gentlemen, you know, what they've been through and where they're going and what they would like to do and what they would like to have happen, you know, as they touch people moving forward, I think that's the larger story in all of this. And, you know, when you're young and you say something out of anger, as Gene did, and then to have everything collapse around you and then have the mental fortitude to work forward, I think it says a lot about, and I've told Gene this before, I said, Gene, you know, you're a stronger individual than you give yourself credit. And you see that in him today. And to be able to share that with others, I think is really important as we move forward too.
Well, if you want to read more about John, you could go to the Online Sports Guys sports blog. It's osgsports.sportsblog.com, or just do a search for Online Sports Guys. We check you out now and then on there. And, of course, about the book, Above Ground by John Nelson, that's available through Amazon and several other booksellers and online and through a Kindle app if you're wanting to get it that way. John, we will definitely be talking soon and hear more about that and future endeavors. Appreciate the time as always.
Be well, my friend.
Hey, take care. We'll talk soon. All right, John Nelson. How about that?
Should be a very interesting book.
Yep, Above Ground. Check it out.
I will.
And I can't wait to get our copy. We'll look.
Where's my copy?
It's coming.
Okay.
Yeah, stand by.